Am I on?
Yep.
Okay. So, so the W side, not the U side, not the relationship with U and associators. The W side is only three equations. Okay, from my the way I write it. Okay, and I want to convince you. So I have two things to convince you. One, that these three equations are equivalent to Alexeyev, the equations that Alexeyev and Torossian write for a V, or they call it S. But you see, it's a vertex, so I call it V. Sorry. And the other thing that I need to convince you, and in some sense, this is just a shortcut. So, I mean, I have to convince you that it's equivalent to some statement about convolutions on Lie groups and Lie algebras, and this was known previously. This is essentially Kashiwara and Verne, 1978, and completely as an aside, the formalism that I use, I think, leads to a more comprehensible proof of this 1978 statement. So at least I had huge difficulty following this 1978 paper. I don't know. Maybe it's just because my limitations. I don't know. But I had huge difficulties, and so it was easier for me to reconstruct it than to read it.
The first relation is without. You have a symmetric V there. Is it?
No, V is not symmetric.
But I mean, you didn't label anything. So.
Right, I didn't label anything, but the vertical is distinct, okay?
Yes.
But at this level, it just doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this level, I don't need to know if V is symmetric or not. Okay, so let's write these equations. So.
But you don't mean this equation where the vertical would be the one of the other ones.
No, I mean, sorry, you're right. So the vertical always is vertical. And left is always left and right is always right. Okay, so let's interpret these equations. Okay? So, first of all, so R4... I mean, let me just write, okay, sorry, I should say that there is a second R4, and the second R4 is when all of these three crossings are flipped, and it is satisfied automatically. I think I mentioned it to some people yesterday without putting it on the board, but it is satisfied automatically, so it's not a constraint on V, so ignore it. I don't need it. It doesn't do anything. Now let's write this equation. So this equation looks like, okay, the left-hand side looks like this. Did I write it right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And let me interpret it in AW. So if I'm interpreting, sorry, this is the topological equation. Map apply ZW. And you'll get an equation which is written on three strands. Okay, whatever will appear on the top strand, I can push down to the bottom two. Okay, so first of all, I should have said what V is, so, or what the vertex goes to. So the vertex goes to a core diagram, an arrow diagram on this skeleton, but again, I can push everything down from the top strand, so V really lives here. So V really lives in AW of two strands, and I place it here. Okay? So, what is this equation? Well, so my convention is to number strands, to put strands on to well, actually, I think this is a place where it's good to not disregard the convention. So let me call this strand X, this strand Y, and this strand Z. one imaginative name. So and now let me put them in this order. So X, Y, and Z. And it's not really Z, because it's not X times Y or X plus Y or anything like that. It's extra. Okay? So the equation is, you put a V here on X and Y, right? This is where V lives. And on top of it, there is an exponential of arrows whose tails are on this strand. Maybe this one should be called Z. Okay, whose tails are on Z and whose heads are on E. But I push this exponential down, and again, every tail, when it goes down, it can choose between going to the left or going to the right. Mm-hmm. Because this is the vertex invariance relation that's sort of pushing down, well, So here you'll get this. So this is an exponential of it, or maybe I'll just write x, but this is this equation. Okay? Now, this is the left, sorry, not equation, this is the left-hand side. Okay, what's the right-hand side? The right-hand side is this. So it becomes, so now V is at the top, right? V is at the top, and right below it I have an exponential of arrows going this way, and even further below I have an exponential of arrows going that way. Okay? So let's convert it into algebra. So sort of horizontal arrows going from X to E appear many times. Likewise, horizontal arrows going from Y to E appear many times. So as a short, let me call such an arrow X, and let me call such an arrow Y. Maybe it should be X arrow and Y arrow. So X arrow means an arrow from X to E. Okay? And Y arrow means an arrow from Y to E. Mm-hmm. So this side becomes E to the X arrow, E to the Y arrow V, is equal to, well, that side becomes V times E to the X arrow plus Y arrow. And, well, I mean, you will recognize it as one of the Alexeyev-Torossian equations. It's not, there's nothing, well, you will recognize it as a part of the Alexeyev-Torossian story. Okay? Now let's interpret this equation. So you'll have to believe, okay, so really this is an equation that's saying, okay, this equation says that if you take, if you unzip this picture, you get this. Topologically, it's this, okay? But here, you'll have a V, and here you'll have a V, but it's not quite the same V. I mean, so this is where you have to look back at the blackboard of Juji, and find which coloring exactly of V it corresponds to. Okay, which type of V exactly it corresponds to. So let me just tell you. Okay, so this is ordinary V, and this is what Juji would call V star. Or I would call V star, sorry. So what is V star? It's the adjoint of V. So it's the thing that in differential geometry corresponds to the adjoint of a differential operator. And in diagrammatics, What it means is that if V is whatever, a thing like this, if this is V, then V star, well, we talked about it. It's the same thing that we talked about it last time. So you flip it over. And you put a minus sign for each head, but only for the heads. So overall, well, for this particular diagram, because it has two heads, you'll get a minus, a plus. But in general, it's either minus or plus. Okay? And now what is the equation that gets written here? The equation that gets written is, well, sort of unzip. So remember, I there are no arrowheads or tails ending here. So unzipping it doesn't do anything. So I just get a V star here and a V here. And the equation is that if I put a V here and a V star here, I get the same thing as if I've done as if it's empty. So the equation becomes V star is equal to the identity. In other words, V is a unitary operator. Okay? I mean, now I'm interpreting it in the sort of what will be the differential geometric language later. So V is a unitary operator that intertwines two funny things. Okay? Finally, there is a third equation, this equation. Okay, so what's this equation? So what should we call the value of the cup? I don't remember what it's called later. Omega. But now I prefer omega to be something else, and I should have called it kappa already back then, because kappa is obviously the value of the cup. But anyway, let's do it kappa. So omega. So this is the value of the cup. So the value of the cup is, it lives in core diagrams on this skeleton. So this means that if you have an arrowhead hitting here, it's zero. Okay? And otherwise, it's an omega. So omega is really, can only be a combination of wheels. Okay?
Yes.
So because right, if you have a any arrowhead, you can push it up and then it's dead, and the price is tails. So you can convert however omega was written, you can rewrite it so that it has only tails, and then it's just forced to be a wheel. On one hand, on the other hand, well, tails are functions, so omega is just a function on the Lie algebra. So really, I mean, this is asserting that there is a certain vector field, and this is asserting that there is a not quite vector field times a function. So this is asserting that there is a certain first order differential operator. Not times a function, vector field plus a function. V may have both trees and wheels. The trees make a vector field, the wheels make a function. So V is a first order differential operator, or an operator of, V is the exponential of an operator of degree less than or equal to 1. So it's the exponential of a function plus a vector field. So it's both a flow and a multiplication by a function somehow. And omega is just a function. So really I'm asserting that there is a unitary operator of a specific type, which intertwines two funny things to be explained, to be understood later. And so that V is, and there is a function omega, so that the function has some property. Now let's write the property. So now let's write this, the cup equation. So again, the cup equation means that unzipping this, gives you that. Okay? Now, on the left-hand side, what have we got? We have well, basically, this becomes V, right? And this becomes omega doubled. So any leg of, because, well, before unzip, I could push omega down. And then, so I'll just have the legs of omega split between left and right. And both sides are still cupped.
So it's this?
Yes.
At the level of object, this is really an isotopy. It's not an unzip that you're doing.
No, it's an unzip.
It's not this two tube that...
No, it's the vertex. The vertex is two tubes merging into one. Oh. And the unzip operation is replacing that one by two parallel tubes.
I missed it, they're really merging.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. So anyway, V is equal. So this is this equation. I mean, I'm not sure how to, you know what, since I don't remember what's on the next transparency, I'll just keep it as that, and then when I'll get to the next transparency, I might simplify it further. Anyway, and this equation is, so this is equal to just omega, sorry, omega. So again, if you have, so at least diagrammatically the assertion should be clear. Right, this this V has wheels and trees and what's not. Place it here. Take omega. It has just wheels and sort of split its legs so that some go to the left and some go to the right. Put the two on the same skeleton and mod out by the relations that if you have a head at the top, then it's zero, then it's equal to two copies of omega. Okay? So since I don't remember what to simplify it to, let me continue. Oh, okay. Oh, so now I want to compare it. So the next thing is I want to compare it with Alexeyev and Torossian. Then I will want to compare it with Kashiwara and Verne. Okay, so Alexeyev and Torossian say the following. Okay, they say there is a tangential automorphism F. So there is a something in the exponential of T there. 2. Okay, and there is an element A of ter 1. So Tier 1 is just one wheels, okay? So sorry, wheels with one color. So in other words, the function. So sort of A is comparable to omega, though it's not equal to omega. It lives in the same space as omega. Such that if you apply F to x plus y, then you get the logarithm of e to the x times e to the y. Alternatively, if you apply f to e to the x plus y, you get e to the x e to the y. Well, which should remind you of this. And if you apply j to f, so j was defined previously, so j of, now I can't do it. Okay. J of J was defined different previously. It was I think in Alexeyev Torossian language, JD is e to the d minus one divided by d acting on DVD or something like that. Not something like that. This is exactly what's on the handout from yesterday. Okay, so I guess I am claiming that these two equations with unknowns F and A, oh, sorry, I didn't finish the statement. So J of F is equal to A evaluated at X plus A evaluated at Y minus A evaluated at the logarithm of e to the X times e to the Y. So I'm claiming that these two equations are equivalent to my three equations. And it's just a, well, I don't know, we just verify. So the truth is that I don't remember. I mean, I'll have to go through it with you. I mean, I wrote it at some point, but then I had enough time to forget. So first of all, write V. So V is a it's an exponential, and it's a combination of wheels and trees. So split the wheels and the trees. So write V as e to the c, where c is only wheels, and e to the u of d, I mean d, right, it's not trees, it's trees placed on a skeleton, so use the upper embedding of the trees, of the skeleton. So with c being a combination of wheels, and d being a combination of trees, meaning an element of t there too. And write omega as e to the b, where b is just a function, so a combination of wheels. Then, let's see, equation number one. This must be equation number one. So now I'm writing v, and I'm writing v as... Sorry, yeah, I'm replacing v by e to the c, e to the ub. Okay, now e to the ud. Okay, now the C part, maybe I should rewrite this. So this is equivalent to, how do I want it? To E to the, so this equals to that is equal to, is equivalent to V e to the x plus y, V inverse is equal to e to the x e to the y. Did I do it right? Yes. And you could take the logarithm on both sides, and you'll just get that here you have x plus y, and here you have log of e to the x plus, e to the x, e to the y. Okay? And now, now the C part of V, the C part of V, did I do it wrong?
V is no log of V?
No, I took the logarithm. Logarithm of conjugation is you just take the logarithm inside. Logarithm commutes with conjugation. Okay? V, so now again, V is equal to e to the c, e to the u d. I guess I want to say that the C's are irrelevant. Oh, yeah. What? The C are wheels.
So it's only tails, right?
What?
Wheels are only tails.
Wheels are only tails, so they my problem is commuting this with this, not with the other part of V, not with not with you know, I did go through it more than once, so I am sure that I'm sure this is right. Oh!
You put it on the other side.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. The real equation that should be written here is e to the c, and here e to the negative c.
Yes.
But commute it with the other side. I mean, so, as you said. So, multiply by e to the negative c and e to the c, and you'll get e to the c here and e to the negative c here, or maybe the other way around. Yes. And these commutes, because this has only tails.
Okay.
X and Y have only tails on the two strands that I care about.
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Sorry. So the C's are irrelevant. So one becomes just this equation. The C's cancel out.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Oh. But this equation is just this. Right? It's just how, well, it's how an element of t dir is interpreted as a... So elements of t dir are interpreted as... Sorry. Trees are interpreted as derivations by bracketing. So the exponential of such derivation will be the exponential of the adjoint, which is conjugation. So this is precisely this equation.
Okay.
Now, equation number two is the unitarity. So, equation number two is v v star is equal to the identity. So it's e to the c, e to the ud, e to the ud star, e to the c star. But e to the c star, well, c is a function, its adjoint is itself. So it's just back again e to the c.
Yes.
Now, the whole combination written here is what's called, is like here,
yes,
it's
yes.
J. So this thing is really J of D, and it commutes with c. So I get that the identity is equal to e to the 2c, e to the jd.
Why does it commute?
Because j is the wheels. Because the Jacobian is a function. Okay? Because... Okay, let's put it differently. Let's say it differently. Okay, I claim that in e to the d adjoint, you will only have wheels. Why? Mod out by wheels. If you mod out by wheels,
Sorry, bro.
Yeah?
Can you just multiply on the left and the right by exponential minus c?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, this is e to the... No, but I'm trying to explain why J, which is this, has only wheels in it.
Okay.
I mean, in principle, it belongs to yesterday's
yes.
talk. Okay, but why is e to the d, e to the... Why is this combination really, as asserted, a function?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, differential geometrically, it makes sense, because this is moving forward, and this is moving backward, and you're only left with the Jacobian.
Mm-hmm.
But diagrammatically, what is e to the d, e to the... So it's not really e to the d, it's e to the u of d, e to the u of d star. So e to the u d, e to the u d star. It's e to the u d, e to the negative l d. If you mod out by wheels, UD is equal to LD. So if you mod out by wheels, this is the identity. So therefore, it's just wheels. Okay. So, so anyway, equation number two is that the identity is equal to e to the 2c e to the j of d. And now I need to interpret an equation number three. Oh my God. So equation number three is that it was that v times omega, but omega is, where is omega? It's e to the b.
Yes.
So, and v is e to the c, e to the ud. So e to the c, e to the ud, b, e to the omega, so e to the b evaluated at x plus y. Oh. Okay. Is equal to e to the x, well, is equal to the, is equal to e to the x, e to the y. Ah, but you see, sorry, I...
Why is it not exponential bx times exponential by?
What? No, this is the same. This is e to the bx, e to the by, because... So x and y here mean something else. Sorry. X and y in this equation, unfortunately, do not mean the same thing as in this equation. So these are x arrow and y arrow. So these are sort of arrows which begin with x and end with e.
Yes.
And here x and y mean wheels whose tails are x's and y's.
Yes.
Okay? Because, I mean, b of x plus y just means take the, well, it will mean take the combination, take b and put x plus y on every head, on every tail, which amounts to saying that you split it between the two sides. But e to the ud acts on tails no matter where the other side of the tail connects to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I mean it acts both on these tails and on these tails by the same formula. So what you get here is, oh, and as we already agreed, e to the ud acts on x plus y by replacing it by log of e to the x, e to the y. So what is written here is e to the c, e to the b, to the log of x, o. Oops. Yeah, no, I mean, what I'm saying is right, but I didn't fully... Let me complete the sentence and then go back to justifying it. So, So this is equal to that, and the right-hand side remains the right-hand side, and then the conclusion is that, take the log on both sides, and you find that c is equal to b of x plus b of y minus this, and I think that, but c on the other hand is negative jd, c is negative because, negative half of jd. So I found that negative JD is equal to this, and that's the same as that. Ah, now here's the thing that's missed. Okay, here is the thing that's missing. Sorry. The thing that's missing is the interpretation of this quotient space. I mean, I mod out by having heads at the top. What is the... What does it mean? I run out of blackboard space.
Ouais, mais après tu peux exprimer V que par celui-là. T'as pas besoin de V. T'as le process qui dit que c'est JD sur ce point. C'est JD.
Your last if and only if you need to take the exponential to the other side, and then you need the fact that the product of the exponentials is the exponential of the sum.
Yeah, but all of these are commuting. These are wheels. These are commuting, so I can do it. So it's true. No, there's one thing that still needs understanding. How do I say that? Sorry, I still need to explain this equation a little better. So, there is a projection, what should we call it? C. No, C is already used.
P.
Fine. Yeah, P. So there is a projection P going from A of this, so from AW of this, to AW of a capped thing. You just mod out by the relation that head that a head near the top is equal to zero. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it has this projection P has. I need to tell you what does it really do. So in other words, what does it do? Because this equality is asserted only after doing this projection, right? Because it's asserted in this space. So I need to explain to you what it does in Tidr language. Mm-hmm. And I also need to tell you, and sort of as an aside, I need to tell you what it does in differential geometric language. So in differential geometric language, it's completely clear what it does. You see, really, you interpret tails and heads here as differential operators, and this projection means if you had a, if the last thing in your string is a differentiation, you kill it. So it's like differentiating the constant function 1. Okay, you differentiate the constant function 1 and you get, if you actually are differentiating, you get 0. If you multiply it by a function, you get that function. So this is either differentiate or applying your differential operator to 1. Or alternatively, if you have a differential operator, it's just a constant term. It's the term that has no differentiations. I mean, if you want to write a sort of, this is in the standard way of writing differential operators as coefficient times differentiation. You know, of course you can write differential operators in a crazy way, like instead of writing a differential operator as coefficient times differentiation, maybe times another differentiation. You could have written it as differentiation times the multiplication by functions and another different. So if you write the differential operator in a crazy way, or maybe even first multiply by a function and then differentiate. If you write it in a crazy way, then the constant term will be different. But in the standard way of writing differential operators, which is first differentiate, then multiply by coefficients. This is just a constant term. Okay? And of course, you can always rearrange. Leibniz's rule allows you to rearrange so that you can always, at the end, rearrange things so that all the coefficients are on the left and all the differentiations are on the right. So in the standard language, this is just the or in the standard presentation of differential operators, this is the constant term of a differential operator. Okay? This equality is false. It's the equality, or it is not meant to be true, but it would mean that the differential operator V, composed with multiplication by omega evaluated at x plus y, is equal to the multiplication of operator by omega at x times multiplication by operator by omega at y. Okay? When I cap, I'm only asserting that the constant terms are equal. Okay? Yes. So this is the differential. And by the way, what's the constant term? The constant term is applying these operators to one. So really, this is the differential operator V acting on the function omega times one, which means omega. So this is V as a differential operator acting on omega, or more precisely, omega evaluated at x plus y, is equal to omega applied to 1 times omega applied, so times, omega tensor omega applied to 1, but this is just omega. So is equal to omega of x, omega of y. So in differential operator language, this is differential operator acting on a function is equal to some product of function. Well, the same function. Okay? Mm-hmm. And this will be written later. But in the now let's interpret it in Alexeyev-Torossian language. So in Alexeyev-Torossian language, this is the universal enveloping algebra of... let me just write it as sort of restricting your attention to only exponentials. This is the collection of all e to the c's, e to the ud's. Okay? And what p does is it replaces e to the c, e to the ud, it kills the e to the ud part. So it just goes to e to the c. That's the constant term. This is the operator, this is the constant term. Okay? Because ud has a differentiation at the top. So, yes. So now I can really understand this equation. Now let's understand this equation. So V is e to the c, e to the ud, omega x plus y. Omega was e to the b. So this is e to the b x plus y is equal to e to the b of x, e to the b of y. Okay. If this is true, then I can multiply by both sides by e to the negative ud. So I can multiply by e to the negative ud here, e to the negative ud here. Now, conjugating by e to the ud is by definition the action of f. So now this is e to the c, e to the, what did I put there? B of log of e to the x, e to the y. B of log e to the x, e to the y. And I still have the e to the negative, sorry, and that's it. Is equal to e to the b of x, e to the b of y, e to the negative ud. But this equality, but I'm not asserting this equality, I'm projecting it to here. So this term drops out. I think I got the logic wrong.
Sorry, I'm confused. But
So am I. I think I got the logic wrong, but it's still the right statement.
If you just look to the question you had at the beginning, exponential c exponential ud exponential b x plus y is equal to exponential b x exponential b y.
Yeah.
If you multiply on the right by exponential minus b x plus y, which is perfectly fine, and then you look to the question, well, then you project.
Yeah.
It just kills UD.
Sorry. No, it kills UD after you commute it.
Yeah, but if I rewrite the question as exponential C exponential UD is equal to exponential BX exponential BY exponential minus BX plus Y.
Sorry, you know what? Let me try again. Sorry, I think I made a. I mean, sorry. I mean I wrote more or less the right thing, but my logic is wrong. Sorry. So this is equal to e to the b of x, e to the b of y, mod p, or after p. Mod p, I mean, its projection, the projections of these two things are equal.
Yes.
I'm not asserting that they are equal as they are. I'm not asserting that this is equal to it, to this. Definitely not.
Okay.
Because this has a differential operator on it, in it, and this doesn't. So they're not equal. But after projection, they're equal. So I want to compute the projection here. I want to compute the projection, the constant term of this differential operator. So let me just multiply by e to the minus ud, e to the ud. I haven't changed anything. Okay? Now, this is e to the c, and now this is the way this differential operator acts is by replacing x plus y by log of e to the x, e to the y. So e to the b log e to the x, e to the y,
e to the ud.
E to the ud, but now ud is at the front, so I can cancel it. Again, the projection kills differential operators if they are at the front.
Yes.
So I get that this is equal to e to the b of x, but this commute, so b of y.
So this is not as clear, I think. What I'm not sure I understand is why you can act by conjugation in a similar fashion as in 1, since x plus y has this sort of different meaning, right? I mean, here we're talking about cabled wheels or something, and the wheels labeled by x plus y, and we have some understood action on arrows only.
Well, you are viewing B as a function from tier 2 to tier 1 or something.
B?
Yeah.
No. B is just a... B is just a combination of wheels. No. Sorry, why...
This is a basic function.
So, okay, the property of UD, okay, the first property of UD, which is written here, okay, is that, uh, if you put UD, or rather, well, let's call it F. No, F is there. I need a name for the exponential of e to the UD. Just I don't want to write it every time. So, well, it really is F. Well, but it's, no, F is the,
capital
so let's call it capital D is used, I guess capital D, okay? So if I put U inverse here and U here, and in between I put this, okay? Then it's equal to, how should I write this? It's equal to a sort of a... It's equal to an associative word in x's and y's, but the word is log of e to the x, e to the y. Okay? So I right now I just rewrote this equation. Okay? But now conjugation is multiplicative, whatever. So, you know, if I had put here two arrows, I just get this squared. Okay? And in general, if I've put here a function of the arrows, I'll just get the function applied to this. So that's point number one. And point number two, if instead of ending the arrows here, right? If instead of ending the arrows on the extra strand, I would end them in a wheel, so take a wheel and have the arrows end on it, okay? Yeah, maybe you were right in some way. I mean, this is a universal equation and this is a special case. Or, you're right, actually. There is a function, you were right. So, really there is a function from, okay, so maybe that's the best way to say, thank you. There is a function from there is a function from AW of a strand, or maybe there are more strands, which I'm for this purpose ignoring, to, or you know what, no, let's, okay. There is a function from A arrow of n strands to, sorry, A omega of n strands to A omega of n minus 1 strands. Okay? And the function is, take the last strand, okay? And so it may have stuff coming out of it, and close it, and think of the result as a wheel. Okay? And also I suppose declare that if something ends here, it's equal to zero.
Converse.
What? No. What?
It's only incoming.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's only incoming, you're right. Only incoming, sorry. So if something wanted to exit, you declare it to be zero. Okay? So take the identity written here and apply this closing function to what? To the extra stuff, to the extra strand. Yeah. So I don't know if this is what Adrian meant, but that's a good way of seeing it. Okay. Sorry, I mean, to me, when I was writing it, I was thinking more, this is sort of universal, this is free. Really, from the perspective of X's and Y's, this is free. So definitely it would be true in any quotient. But that's just a way of making it explicit. Okay? So, anyway, or probably, yeah, we should stop. But anyway, the moral is that this is equivalent to Alexeyev Torossian, and it's not even hard. Sorry, it's compressed into five lines. If you okay, I don't think we should do the rest. But
you should take a break before you.
Yeah, I definitely should take a break, but here are the equations that I wrote before, but now they have differential geometric meaning. And then the next thing is to and as I mentioned, a unitary operator, so V just means a unitary operator, and having a unitary operator becomes an integral identity. And I claim that this integral identity is the convolution equation of Kashiwara. So that would be the other side. Okay.